fascism?
Fascism was generally defined as that thing someone else is doing that I disagree with. No, 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 not communism, the other one. In practice, fascism was a totalitarian system of government whereby citizens lived under a strong central authority that exerted control over nearly all aspects of their lives. Again, not communism. The difference being fascism's penchant for spiffy uniforms, cool logos, and a really fanatical devotion to the state. With an emphasis on nationalist pride and ancestral bonds, fascists believed that a nation's strength came from its people, minus the darkies, queers, oldies, and tards. Citizens who objected were dubbed intellectuals and loaded onto the same trains as the tards and queers. And those trains, mind you, did run on time. By no means monolithic, fascism encompassed many streams of thought, from the state is all I will ever care about to the more nuanced, make it stop, make it stop, dear God, yes, I will tell you the names of the resistance leaders.
Nazis.
We really can't go any farther here without explaining these guys. Yes. Nazis were fascists. But they were really the fascists, the ones who defined the movement forever. Nothing horrified or amused and fascinated us like Nazis. Their defining characteristics were competence, brutality, and a fetishization of masculinity that turned all of Germany into one big, smelly, homoerotic gym class. Nazi leader Adolf Hitler used pseudoscientific theories of racial superiority to justify killing millions in death camps and destroying most of Europe. He was also a vegetarian. There is apparently no word for irony in German.
In the ruins, concentration camps.
There is a possibility you might find some barbed wire compounds that just radiate death and horror. Right? Yes, we did build them. And then we preserved them. But we only preserved them to remind us how ashamed we were of building them. And it's not like we set more than a handful of children's movies in them. Please don't judge us on this one terrible thing we did. We would really rather you judge us on the thousands of slightly less horrible things we did.
Anarchy.
Few political ideas provoke such widely divergent opinions as anarchy, the state of no government. To anarchy's fans, such as the philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau and teen skateboarder Matt Gudmundsen, it was a condition of unfettered personal liberty, where individuals could realize their full potential, free from stifling authority and bullshit. To critics, such as Thomas Hobbes and Matt Gudmundsen's hard-ass father, it was a perilous hellscape where violence ruled, human enterprise was dissipated in chaos, and furniture was never moved down to the basement, despite repeated instructions to move it before you go skateboarding. Who was right? Well, we never really figured it out, because we never lived in anarchy for any sustained period. Really, it was less a system of governance than a transitory state, like orgasm, adolescence, or drunkenness.
Bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy was the opposite of anarchy. Whereas anarchy destroyed property, bureaucracy generally destroyed the soul. It wasn't even a real form of government. It was just a parasite that attached itself to whatever form of government was around. And though bureaucracy's goals could be called laudable, the standardization of procedure and otherwise large, ungovernable groups, it always wrapped itself in a protective cocoon of inflexibility, paperwork, and mean ladies who were too busy with their personal calls to talk to you.
Democracy.
First practiced by the ancient Greeks, democracy came from their word demokratos, meaning a short break from pederasty to deal with the zoning issue. The major strength of democracy was that every citizen had a voice in government. The major weakness of democracy was that every citizen had a voice in government. The risks were high for short-sighted rule by mob whim, inaction caused by deadlocked interest groups, or your favorite TV shows being preempted by some boring debate. In exchange for control over their own destinies, democracy demanded one great sacrifice from its practitioners. A lunch break trip to an elementary school gym once every, I'd say, 2 to 4 years. Generally, this was too much to ask. Citizens found the energy to vote only when they believed their wealth, guns, or vaguely defined concept of freedom were threatened. In fact, a democracy's health could best be measured by the number of people who didn't vote, thus signaling they were completely satisfied. Democracy proved to be surprisingly resilient in times of chaos or social change.